Who's looked at the sermon title yet? Okay. Did anything come to mind? Sorry? A song. Yeah. Yeah, nice catchy little ditty, isn't it? That one actually came to me while I was reading one of our Bible verses for today. Did you know there isn't a word of a lie in that song? Everything he said was truth, and that the whole song is just sounds from his mouth. It's a song by Bobby McFerrin. And contrary to what you might have heard, like I thought originally, he had committed suicide. That's not true. But unfortunately, one person in the video that came out, Robin Williams, did commit suicide. Apparently he hadn't listened to the words of the song he was helping with. So it's the song that I'm thinking about, and I realize the words are too true to really ignore. Don't worry, be happy. Is that just words, or is there some actual meaning behind it? Bobby himself said, that's a neat philosophy that I want to put in my life, he said. And it's a philosophy, yes. As familiar as it may be, sometimes the relevance, I think, is lost on us. I'm going to talk about a form of fear. We know it as worry. How many of you are familiar with worry? Yeah, I think we're all have been guilty at some point. We worry about all sorts of things, don't we? We worry about money, our house, our jobs, our family, our health, the ozone layer. What'll happen in the future? That's a big one for a lot of people. And if there aren't enough legitimate things to worry about, we start making them up, don't we? We tend to invent things. We probably know someone we might call a chronic worrier. I know a couple, actually. Have you ever been so worried about some event or situation that it affected your sleep and your behavior so much that it actually caused the very thing that you were worried about? I know people like that. It is so common. At this point, I'd just like to pray. Lord, you know how much we are worrywarts. We don't think that worrying can be a problem. But Lord, there's so much encouragement and worrying that you talk about in the Bible, and ways to circumvent that, to cure it. You know it's a problem for us humans. It's something that we just naturally do. Lord, ask now that your message be spoken here and that these words make sense to those that need to hear it. I ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. So there are three problems with worry. Worry is unhelpful. It's unreasonable, and it's very unhealthy. It's unhelpful because it never accomplishes anything. Worry does not solve the problem. Worry cannot change the past, can it? It cannot control the future. It can only make us miserable today and worse. Has anyone here been depressed? Do you know what that can do to you? Yes. It can even be lethal. As a matter of fact, there are several people in our congregation here that have actually been training in depression control. Recovery. It is just as bad or worse than smoking. And it's very common, especially here in our neighborhood. And as Bobby's song tells us, well, you've heard the expression, one rotten apple can spoil the bunch. Yes, when you become adversely affected by worry and other factors, it influences others too. It really is unhelpful. It's unreasonable. It magnifies the problem. It makes mountains out of molehills. Worry makes your problems seem bigger than they really are. To spend time worrying about something you can't change is useless. To worry about something you can change is foolish. Just go ahead and change it. Worthy really is unreasonable. And of course, worthy is unhealthy. I could go on quite a bit about that. What kind of effect does worry have on our lives? Excessive worrying has been linked to high blood pressure, depression, headaches, backaches, insomnia, and numerous other physical and mental health problems. But I think most of you know that already. And if these problems aren't a good list, I'm afraid that if you're a chronic worrier, then I guess you need to add worrying to your list of worries. The body simply is not made to worry. It's unnatural. Plants and animals don't worry. The only thing in creation that worries is people. The old English word for worry means to strangle or to choke. Worry is not natural and it's unhealthy. But what does the Bible say about this form of fear we call worry? Should we be, as Christians, be among those who succumb to this fear? The first verse I will look at gives us the antidote to this fear, this plague of worry. Read the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 27. If you want to look that up, I'll give you a minute. And this is actually where I got the title of that song from. Chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Even Jesus is saying, don't worry, be happy. I will take care of you. The antidote is very simple, isn't it? Believe God will take care of you. Let's look at our scripture reading for today, now in Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. And then continuing on, actually, verses 4 and 5. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. If I really believe that God is going to take care of me, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust in God for all my needs. David called God his shepherd. What do shepherds do? Looking back at Psalm 23, there are three things. A shepherd provides food, shelter, and the basic necessities. A shepherd protects against enemy attacks. And a shepherd guides, leads when you don't know the path. The amazing thing is that God promised to do these things in your life if you'll trust him. He says, I'll provide for you. I'll protect you. I will guide you. I will gather you into my side if you'll let me be your shepherd. Look at what it says in Isaiah 40. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And that was verse 40:11. In Philippians 4, Paul gets even more specific. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And that's Philippians 4:19. You could circle the word will. The verse doesn't say might. Doesn't say I'll think about it. He says I will. He's either going to supply my needs, or he's a liar. We know he's not a liar. God says, I will meet all your needs. What does all include? Mortgage payments, food, spiritual needs, financial needs, relational needs, everything. There are many real stories of God's provision for needs being met all throughout the history and to our present day. He does what he promises. Worry is not only unhelpful, unreasonable, unhealthy, David called it a withering of the bones, but it's just unnecessary if Jesus is your shepherd. Anytime you worry, you are, in practical terms, acting like an atheist. In essence, you are saying, God is not going to take care of my needs. I don't think he can. I don't think he's big enough. In fact, I'm not sure he's even there. As we have just seen, the antidote for worry, though, is to make God your shepherd. So how do I make God my shepherd? Although he would like to be, God is not the shepherd for everybody. He can only be the shepherd of those who let him be the shepherd. The first step is usually the hardest, especially if we have trouble letting go. I'll explain this a little bit later. What we need to do now is to accept Jesus as my Lord, as we are reminded in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord does not become your shepherd automatically. You have to ask him to be your shepherd. You have to ask him to be your Lord. What does it mean to be Lord? It means to be in control. Lord simply means to be in charge. Today, instead of Lord, we might say the boss or the manager, the owner. Lord means under his control, the person on top, you know, the one calling the shots. Jesus is Lord of your life when you put him in control. If he's not calling the shots, he's not your Lord. If he's not the Lord in your life, he's not your shepherd. Because Lord means shepherd. This has been said many times, but it's still hard for many to do. In John chapter 10, Jesus says that three things happen when you make Jesus your shepherd. You hear his voice, you have a relationship with him, and you follow him. In other words, you put him in control. Specifically, the verse reads, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. John 10:27. The root of the fear that worry is, the part that makes that first step so hard, is a power struggle over control. Who is really in control? Worry is nothing more than trying to control what you can't control. Trying to control the uncontrollable. Worry is a warning light that you have not put God in control. So, who is in control of your life? God gives you the option. He doesn't force himself in anyone's life. You have two options. Either you can be in control of your life, or you can let God be in control of your life. God doesn't co-pilot. If you're in control of your life, you are playing God. Every time you try to take complete control of your life, you're going to worry, because things will suddenly go out of control. Why? Because there are things in your life that you simply cannot control. But if God is running your life and he's the Lord of your life, you shouldn't worry. The Lord is your shepherd. What you should do is begin praying about everything. What should you start praying about? Start praying about the things you've been worrying about. If we prayed about the things we worried about, we'd have a lot less time to worry, wouldn't we? Worry doesn't change things. Prayer does. Worry is stewing without doing. Prayer puts you in contact with the one who can change the things that you can't. Whenever a problem arises, you have two options. You can panic, or you can pray. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your words into prayers. Let God know your concerns. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. When you're at peace, are you happy? Yes. Paul is saying, don't worry, just be happy. And he would know, wouldn't he? And 1 Peter, cast all your care upon him because he cares about you. Cast means to unload, to let go. The Greek word literally means to drop. Unload it. When first looked at, this verse seems to say, to throw my worries away. That is not what this verse says, however. It says I am to unload it. But notice where I unload it. On him. We place all of our cares and worries on him because he cares about you. It doesn't mean that our worries or our problems just magically go away. What this means is that we give them to Jesus and he takes care of them. As an example of this action in practice comes out well in part of an email a pastor received right before Christmas. And I'm going to read it. Good morning, Pastor Tom. Hope your week is going well. I was home last night while Mary was at Lydia's, listening to one of our new CDs, and my mind began to think about where we are today compared to where we were last Christmas. Last year, Mary had no job. This year, she has a good job with the state with the same benefits. Last year, we had a house payment that was more than my take-home pay. This year, we have a great hometown that we can afford. Last year, besides our grandkids and stepson, Satan was living in our house, causing stress, anger, and discontentment. This year, Jesus lives in our hearts. Last year, we had a small family who could only do so much to help us through the trying times. This year, we have a new church family who has been there to support us and pray for us in our times of need. Last year, we did not have time to go to church. This year, we do not have enough time to go to all the services and ministries. And last year, we had no shepherd to watch over us. This year, we have two, God above and you down here on earth. We have been so blessed this year beyond belief. We now serve an awesome God. We have so much to do for the Lord in the coming year. I am sure next year will bring many new challenges, happy and sad times, and much joy. At this Christmas season, I want to thank you and wish you the best holiday time you and your family have ever had. God bless, Richard. When you put your faith in God, he still works miracles. And again, I reiterate, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is a second thing you need to do if you want to deal with worry effectively. Consider one day at a time. We must make plans for the future. Definitely, but with the hectic and stressful lifestyles here and now, one day is a lot. It's enough. Matthew 6 cautions us. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Matthew 6:34. God will take care of tomorrow. Trust him for today. Don't open your umbrella until it starts raining. Today is the tomorrow you tried to worry about yesterday. You don't change yesterday. You don't control tomorrow. And you mess up today worrying about everything else. The future can seem overwhelming. Therefore, trust God in small bites. Live for him today. Notice how Jesus prayed in Matthew 6. Give us this day our daily bread. That's Matthew 6:11. Overcoming worry is a day-by-day choice. There's no pill you can take to stop worrying. There's no seminar, no book or tape that can make you stop worrying. God's antidote for worry is to put him in control of your life. The scriptures tell us that perfect love drives out fear. Turn with me and read what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 38. Romans 8, verses 35 to 38. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May I suggest to you that if we fully accept the love and will of God in our lives, if we allow Jesus to overflow into every facet of our being, then there will be no room for or any need for worry. If you haven't already, take the first step by opening up your life to Jesus. Ask him to become your Lord, your shepherd. I don't know what you're worried about today, but I do know this. God loves you and he cares about the mess in your life. And he wants to see you happy, just as Daddy would want to see his children happy. Can you say this today? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Not might be, not could be, not maybe. Can you say with certainty that Jesus is my shepherd? When you can say that and mean it, you're going to stop worrying. You don't have to keep carrying that fear or worry over something any longer. Ask Jesus to be your shepherd at the start of every day, that he can carry you through the troubles and trials that will come. Breathe free and easy, knowing he will take care of things. And yes, don't worry. Be happy. May God bless you as you walk with him. Lord, we thank thee once again for giving us this beautiful Sabbath day, this time to strengthen our spiritual reserves. Lord, we do ask you to come into our lives. Be our shepherd. Guide us and take care of us, Lord. Strengthen us for the journey ahead, for the tasks you would set before us. And yes, we do want you in control of our lives. Lord, we ask now that you would dismiss us and help us to bring honor to your Sabbath day. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen.